Okay, everybody, let's begin. Everybody say good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
On your mark. On your mark. Get ready.
On your mark. Get ready.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam shehakol nehiyeh bidvaroi.
Amen.
Okay, here we go. So we're up to today, we're continuing over here, Mizmar Memtes. Mizmar Nun. What am I saying? Mizmar Nun. We're up to, let's start past the K. I want to try to do today two pages. There aren't that many mefarshim here that we're going to discuss, so we can try to cover two pages. Pasuk begins, Isfu li chasidoi. We're in a rush.
We're in a rush.
Okay, we take that as a blessing. Mark is giving us a blessing. A blessing for Mark is serious business. Mark is a very holy person. I got to know him over the years, and he's like a Rashir. Yishnah, I'm telling you, people they go to Eretz Yisrael, they line up for brachas by big Gedolei Yisrael. You don't know who to go to for bracha for. I'm telling you, you don't know who to go.
That's an amazing sight. My mother-in-law, she should do well. She's in her 90s, and she became now a speaker, a personality, surviving the last generation. We were going to bar mitzvah to a school called H, a Rabbi Shapiro. In Beit Shemesh. He's a holy man himself. When he walked out of his house going to shul, I said Shalom Aleichem to him. I told him who my mother was. He knows his family. And he wants to know who my mother-in-law was. They start talking. And he was asked her if she knew Rabbi Weissmandel.
Okay.
And she says yes. He almost fainted on the floor. But this man was killed in the war. At the end, there's a different question. And at the end of the conversation, he had to run shul. He asked her for a bracha. Then I almost fell from the floor.
Why? What's the chiddush? I know someone. Look. Someone has a number. Anyone that has a number is his bracha. I know someone, a pashut person that no one would give a second look. He does chesed. He has people that he knows that have mental health issues. He on his own took the initiative to find the right doctor for these people. He takes them to the doctor. He monitors them, gets them the medicine. And by doing so, he's literally saved people's marriages. Because these people know if they're not going to, it's always taken to the doctor and find and go play around with the medicine. It's a big guessing game, and then be on top of them to take the medicine medicine. Because the first thing anyone in this condition that does is I'm not taking the medicine anymore. I'm done with that already, and he's on top of them. So someone I know said to me, you need to go to Eretz Yisrael to the Gadol Hador for bracha. I guarantee you, go to this person. This person, no one give a second look. And ask and get a bracha from him. His bracha is just as potent, if not even more, than the biggest Gadol Hador. The chesed that he does, that no one would do, and no one even knows about. No one even knows about these type of things. You never ever know from who you get a bracha, who has toikif, potency, in Shemayim, in the Olam HaEmes, what really matters. There's a lot of smoke and mirrors out there. You have to look for the MS. Okay, let's learn now. Let's go. Isfu li, I'm on page 448. Page 448. Good morning, Rav Mordechai. I miss your twin. I know, he's in Florida for a month. The sunshine state. He's enjoying a nice cup of oranges as we speak right now. Okay, so let's learn over here. Isfu li chasidoi. Everybody say page 444. What we really need to learn is the Targum. We're not going to whole shul detail, but let's. I want to try to illustrate two pages, because they're not. Even though there's a lot of words on the page, a lot of it is repetitious. I just want to basically focus in the major theme over here on page 440 and 449 and 440. Next page 450 is about what it says in Yeshaya. Lamali roiv zivchechem amar Hashem. Hashem, I don't need you to bring me sacrifices. Rather that you do chesed, you humble yourself, you do your Hashem wants a person's heart, his good deeds, Hashem does not need sacrifice. The major chunk of this next two pages deals with that topic, and it quotes a lot of those psukim that we read in Yeshaya, Shabbos Chazoin, and during the 3 weeks. So here it says, again, we make an assumption that we're learning over here during the time of the Yom HaDin HaGadol. Okay, let's just make that assumption for the time being, that this Mizmor is describing the end of days when there's going to be Mishpat. The Mishpat primarily is going to be focused on the Umay Sa'ilam, the nations of the world, for the crimes they have committed against Klali Yisrael. Isfuli gather me chasid, my pious ones. Who are my pious ones? They are the Kursei V'risi Ale Zovach, the ones who have forged a covenant over a sacrifice. Now that simply means the Jewish people, and the sacrifice refers to the korbanos that accompanied Matan Torah. Matan Torah, all the Mepharshim say, come out the same exact thing. Let's right away look at the Mitzvah Tavid, Pasuk Hey, Isfuli, gather for me, the Yoimar Lohem, and say to them, Haviu, bring, the Isfu Alai, Eschasidah, my pious ones, Asher Korati Imam Bris, Bidam, the blood of a Zevach, K'moy Shenemar, the Mitzvah David quotes, what it says at Parshas Matan Torah, I think this Parshas Mishpatim, Hine Dam HaBris. Moshe, they brought sacrifices and they sprinkled the blood upon the Atzili Ha'am. I don't remember the exact details. Rabbi Eski can fill us in on the exact details. But they brought sacrifice at the time of Matan Torah, and that's over here. Mishpatim, and that's what it says over here in this passage. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving the command. He's getting the previous page we learned about that Hashem is calling. Hashem is calling for the Shamayim Me'ol V'El Oretz Lodin Amo, which we learned yesterday according to the Peshut Shalomik. Hashem is calling that for the Sorei Maila. Hashem is now assembling in the court, bringing them as defendants in a trial for crimes against the Jewish people, the Sorei Maila. The ministering angels the advocates, what is it called, every nation has a sar, there's a certain term for it,
ambassador,
an advocate in heaven, and the people who live on this earth, bring them together to the court of law, Ladin Amol, they are going to be subject to Mishpat for the crimes they have committed against my nation. Who else is coming to this? Who else is coming to this case? This is going to be the victim. The victim is going to be in the audience. Isfuli chasidoy. The entire Jewish people are called Hashem's pious ones, the whole nation. They are, who are they? Over here we give them a title, Kursei Virisi. They are the ones who have entered into a covenant, forged a covenant with Hashem, Alei Zavach. And the covenant was done, the Matan Torah was done, the covenant was done through the bringing of sacrifices. As it says explicitly in Parashas Mishpatim, as Ramayevsky mentioned, the end of Shvi, and this is something which we really don't pay much attention to. When we talk about Matan Torah, we talk about Hashem, He put the mountain upon our heads, and He said, either Mekabel the Torah, or Shom Tei Kivuraschem, and we said Nase V'Nishma. We don't very rarely dwell upon the reality that when we makabel the Torah, it was done through a bris, and the bris involved the bringing of korbanos. And this pasuk is making that point. Next, v'yagidu shamayim tzidkoi, and let the heavens declare His righteousness. Who is the subject of the word of His righteousness? We have to see. We have to see that in a moment, different interpretations. Ki Elokim Shoifeitu Sel, Hashem is the judge. Hashem over here is the judge. Over here we're gathering the defendants, and we're gathering the victim, and Hashem is really going to be the plaintiff. It seems here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the plaintiff. He's angry at the nations of the world, what they have done to the victim, us. We are His chosen nation, and let the heavens declare that ki elokim yagidu shamayim tzidkoi, His righteousness, meaning Hashem is the plaintiff. Hashem is taking the umoy sa'olam to a din Torah, and
guardian angel,
so that they're the defendants. The guardian, that's the shrine. Yikwa
El. I'm looking for word advocate, the guardian angel.
The guardian angel. The guardian angel. Excellent. The guardian angel of the Umay Sa'ilam. Now over here, when it says V'yagidu Shemayim Tzidko, it would appear the word Shemayim in this Pasuk Vav is not being used the same way it's used back in Pasuk Dalid. In Pasuk Dalid, according to the Mitzvah, the word HaShemayim refers to the guardian angel. In Pasuk Vav, it's not, it's Shemayim over here refers to Shemayim. Let's see what it says in the Mitzvah, so I forgot. V'yagidu HaShemayim Ozden Yagidu Malachei Shemayim. Here, when it says Shemayim refers to the angels, the good angels, not the advocates on Shemayim for the Umay Sa'olam. In Pasuk Vav, when it says Shemayim referring to the good Malachi Hashoris in heaven, they will declare Hashem's righteousness. They will say, we understand this, that Hashem did not judge the nations until now. Because Hashem has plenty of time. Mark, as you started this year, what's the rush? Hashem is in no rush. Hashem has an infinite amount of time at his disposal. Loi kemelech basar v'dam asher yimaher lokachas mishpat pen l'mochar yomus. Human beings by nature are in a rush, because deep down inside, every person knows that this clock is ticking. And no one lives forever, and a person is running out of time. A human being by nature is in a rush, and a person wants mishpat now. Hashem is not in a rush. Hashem is infinite. Hashem is all the time in the world, and that's a very interesting concept of there is an irreconcilable difference between us and Hashem in this matter. We are limited. We want justice now. We want to see results now, because we're not going to be around. Hashem is going to be around, so Hashem is not in a rush. This is always a conflict. This is a struggle, a subconscious struggle that we deal with every moment of our lives. Yeah.
Whatever he did, it's on his schedule, right?
And not exactly, not on our schedule. Because we're limited. We know when they gave, 2-3 years ago, Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, the president of Rashiva of Yeshiva University, was Nifter. So there was some very beautiful Hespedim. We paid attention to the Hespedim, and one of the things that was said a few times is Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb was driven. He was a driven person. He was his nature. Where did it come from? So they all said the same thing, that when he was in third grade, there was an event that changed his life. One of his classmates died. A boy in third grade, and I don't know what the circumstances were, one of his classmates just one day died. And it affected him. They all said this in the Hespedim. It affected him very, very much. It made an impression on him that tomorrow I can die. What did I accomplish? Life can end in a second, and that created in him this passion to accomplish, and not to waste time, and to do, keep on doing and accomplishing. When he saw in front of him one of his friends leave this world at such a young age, in third grade. I mean, you know, we don't know how the mind works. A child, you know, we don't really know. Every person's child is different. Some, you know, a child's mind, they all say, is wet cement. A day by a child is like a month by an adult. It's really true. But yet, you look at some children, you don't really see that. You don't get that sense. So maybe for some it is. Maybe, who knows? No one knows. No one really knows. I was speaking to someone on my block. He's a principal. He's a yeshiva. So he was telling me some really crazy stuff. He's telling me that, yeah, he had a student, this and that, and they sent him to a psychologist, you know, a professional, and the psychologist spent a lot of time with this kid, and this is a young adult, and he told him that, you know, he discovered that when this kid was very young, something happened to him, and that explains everything, and he needs his space. And the principal said to me, he really thinks that this psychologist is totally nuts. Is making out of nothing. He's making out of nothing. We're like, okay, every person in the world goes through struggles and events, and someone beat you up, and someone bullied you. Everyone can go give you a whole long list of things that didn't go according to plan when they were children. For generations, it's been like this. And he says this guy, who is a professional, and according to the modern world, we live in a world you have to have a psychologist and a psychiatrist and a therapist and a this, and they have to make a parnas, and they have to go, and they have all these ideas. He says, it wasn't like this when we were kids. Get on with life. Take responsibility for yourself and just move on. Take responsibility. And he says, it was just so disturbing. And he says, hands are tied because, we live in this. And he's listening to this nonsense. This is total nonsense. What is he going to do?
It
comes to, obviously, there's truth. There's no doubt about it. Like Rabbi Lamb, they all said this about Rabbi Lamb. A child died. And it changes life.
It does.
It changes life.
Did he say that, or they're just attributing
it? It seems that he said it. I don't remember exactly. It's been a while since. It's on YouTube, all the Hespedim. They said this came up a few times in the Hespedim. So it must be that he said it. Otherwise, they wouldn't repeat this. Obviously.
When he was three, obviously, he's the one who said it.
Third grade. I mean, it was in third grade. It was in third grade. He's not a song in third grade. It's a certain age. It's third grade. How old is the kid in third grade? Seven. How old? 6 years or 7 8? 8 years old. Okay, it's a certain age. It's a certain age when you begin already to pay attention to life. Were you going to go? Every single fight a kid gets into, every single time one of his siblings goes and beats him up and hits him.
Depends on the person.
Exactly. You can't generalize. All right, so going back over here, how do we get into this? I don't remember. Over here in the Mitzvah stuff, it says, that's how we got into this, is over here. This is a very powerful insight. This is a very important principle, that there is an irreconcilable difference between man and Hashem in this respect of the need to see results now. We live especially in a generation we call the microwave generation. I want it now, and I want it hot. That's what we live in. We want now, instantly. You put something in the microwave, 60 seconds, it's steaming hot. Now and hot. That's not the way Hashem works.
The instant gratification.
Instant gratification.
Yeah, some would call it infantile.
When Hashem makes pizza, it takes a whole day. You just don't go to the freezer and take out.
You mentioned pizza. When we were little,
yeah.
When the guy took the pizza out of the oven, he would not cut it immediately.
Right.
He said it has to cool a bit.
Wow.
And now, as soon as then they're cutting it.
No way. You bet it. Exactly. No one has patience for nothing.
Pizza.
For nothing. I mean, that's the world we live in. Look, do you remember you used to wait for a bus? No one waits for a bus anymore. You have an app.
Right.
You have an app. You want to go. I still call the command bus, even though the command bus is all of our shalom for already many years. But the bus that go to Manhattan.
Before it was command, it's called Pioneer.
Pioneer?
Yeah.
Okay, the bus going. So there used to be. You used to stay on the corner. You used to come down the corner on Avenue I or all the different over there, and you wait, and then three buses come at the same time. No one waits anymore. The second before the bus comes, a whole chevra emerge out of the woodwork. How do they all come at the same time? B'diyuk, when the bus comes, everyone has one of these pieces of glass.
But it still doesn't tell us that the bus is full. Sometimes the bus is full.
The new apps already. It doesn't matter. There's enough seats, so you stand for 20 minutes, or half an hour. It's amazing why no one has patience. No one has patience. We're trained today not to have patience for anything. It's unbelievable. It was so spoiled. And then we look at a Kadosh Baruch Hu and we say, maybe someone should give Hashem a smartphone and some apps, to automate things. Hashem is old-fashioned. Okay, this is an irreconcilable difference between us and Hashem. Hashem has all the time in the world. And Hashem does not exercise mishpat immediately. It may take 50 years. It may not be in our lifetime. It's a whole, and it's very hard for man to grapple with that because we're very limited. We know it. We know it deep down that we don't have much time in every dimension, and things happen very quickly by us. But Hashem, this is a very big issue. It's a very, very big struggle. The Mitzubis David says it's exactly what it means in this pasuk. V'yagidu shamayim tzidkoi. The Malachi Hashavis, it seems, according to the Mitzubis David, also a bit impatient. But now, at the end of days, they will declare. This is how he learns. Again, every one of these psukim is very abstract and subject to interpretation. And here, according to the Mitzudos David, he learns that at the end of days, the Malachi HaShoyos will say, you know, Hashem was right. Hashem was not in a rush. He waited until all of the pieces fell into the right place when he can then do what he needs to do. Erech HaPayim, but it's everything. Good morning, Rabbi Wolf. Good morning, Rabbi Wolf. Good morning.
Well, in some situations, we say, Bal HaBayis Doichek.
Well, that's by us. The apoyalim atzelim, yahyoim kotzar, v'melocha meruba. The apoyalim atzelim, ubal habayis doichik, and the sochar is very. That's a Jewish, right? The whole thing is basically is a Jewish, right? In Chanami, the bal habayis hakadosh baruch hu is the ultimate bal habayis, the bal habira. Let's look again at the mitzudos David. What he says over here, this he's saying over here, a very deep interpretation. The mitzudos David doesn't say simple things. You think people, oh, Mitzvah Zdav just says the raw, simple pshat. He doesn't say simple things. Mitzvah Zdav says very deep, profound ideas, and he embellishes the pasuk to a very large degree, words that doesn't say, ideas that you would never even think of, imagine to be the translation, to be the pshat, and he actually says this. And here he says, V'yagidu Shemaim, Oz V'yagidu Malachi Shemaim. He teaches the word Shemaim to be the Malachi Shemaim, the angels. Pasuk Vav, on page 449, the very bottom. What will they say? None of this says in the pasuk. All of this is his interpretation. We now see and understand this that Hashem delayed. Who? Al ki? It is because who shofet le'olam. Hashem has all the time in the world. When it says the end of the pasuk, shofet hu sela. Sela means forever. Hashem has plenty of time. Plenty of time to issue judgment. Loi kemelech basar v'dam asher yimaher lokachas mishpat pen l'mochor yomus. We now understand that Hashem was correct. Ki Elokim shoyfeit hu sela, because Hashem has an infinite amount of time available to him to judge. And he's waiting just for the right moment to make the biggest impact. Pasuk Zayin. Shema ami va'adabera. Listen, my nation, and I will speak. Who's the speaker here? We have to see. Yisrael ve'oidabach, the Jewish people, and I will testify against you. Elokim Elokecha Onochi. The speaker here is Hashem. Let's see the mitzvah stuff. It's har pasuk. Pasuk zayin va'adabera. Es divorai. Yisrael. It's poetic. Poetic repetition. First we're called ami, and then we're called Yisrael. Let's see, Vadaber Stavar Yisrael, Ato, you, Yisrael, Shema, listen, Ve'asre, Becho, I will warn you. What will I warn you? Elokim, Elokecho, Onoichi, V'olecho, Lishmoye, Devarai, I am your God. I am Elokim, I am Hashem, Elokecho. He's not really elaborating what this means. Onoichi, and now I want to give you a message. Now, the symbol of here that's very interesting. We started off in this mizmar where Hashem is calling to task the umay sa'olam. This really needs a hesber. It's very difficult to understand what's going on. Maybe we'll figure this out as we go on. The mizmar begins by giving us the impression that Hashem is taking to mishpat the nations of the world for their crimes against the Jewish people. And then suddenly there's a shift where Hashem is giving us musa and telling us, who do you think you people are? Who do you Jewish people think you are? What, you think you're going to bring me a karban and all is forgiven? You're going to make believe. You're going to do all of the worst averos and then just put on the big day shemina and come and show off. There is a musr that is a very powerful musr that's being presented before Hashem judges the Uma Yisrael and Mechol?
No, I'm thinking. First Hashem judges the Uma Yisrael, right?
It doesn't say that.
And then, yeah, because of their sins against Chol.
But it doesn't say that. It says they're being called to Din, but then before Hashem actually talks to them, he talks to us.
Yeah, don't think that you're going to escape judgment as well.
So this is a very complicated process. You go to court, and you know the plaintiff presents his case, and then the judge lashes out at the plaintiff. Who do you think you are? You coming over here to take these people, the defendant, to mishpat? You think you're such a tzaddik? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there's a shift. Okay, we have to see. And Hashem, what does Hashem say? Pasuk Hey.
Well, 1 second. It's interesting that. There's a repetition, Elokim, Elokecho. I've never seen that before. Not that I've seen everything, but
Hashem Elokecho usually.
Yeah, Hashem Elokecho.
Very good, Elokim Elokecho. You're right. I don't know. I hear you saying. We have to see. We have to do the Targum. Targum is fascinating. I didn't prepare it properly. It was a little hold off from the Targum. We do the Targum here because the Targum really adds a lot of embellishes this, the whole parish of what's going on over here. But right now, let's focus for the moment on a few little things. And by the way, there's a very interesting Malbim. Let's look at the Malbim, the Ber Hamilos. The Ramban Ber Hamilos, he says, what is this repetition? I mean, it's a poetic repetition of Ami and Yisrael. We're usually accustomed to hearing two different words, or really three. We're used to hearing Yaakov, Elokei Yaakov. We hear Yisrael. And then sometimes we'll hear Yeshurun. Right? There are three different titles that the Jewish people have. Yaakov, Yisrael, and Yeshurun. Here there's really a fourth. If you add to your list, Ami, my nation. Ami is another title. If we look at the Malbim, the Be'er Hamilos, on page 448. If you look, let's see, Adaber v'ita, I will speak and I will testify. I'm Yirmiyah. Umivor she'ami mitzayin madrego yoiser min Yisrael. Who would imagine that the word my nation is a title of the Jewish people that's even higher than the term Yisrael? We thought
Kisor.
We
have it in this group, Ami b'nei Yisrael,
Meir Tzvi. Okay, so you say. He's saying an idea, and obviously not everyone necessarily agrees with the Malbim. The Malbim is saying this idea that on top...
What does the Farshim get into the difference between the word Uma and Am?
With an Aleph and an Ayin.
Right.
Every once we mention...
Them and one means us.
Well, the word is also used in Klal Yisrael.
Yeah, I understand, but in the Chumash.
Okay. Enochanami. There are a lot of different terms, and also it's not necessarily consistent. It depends on the context. So here it says the verse she'ami mitzayin madrego yoiser ben Yisrael k'mo shepirashi Yishaya ve'alken yichas he'oras ha'seichel al shem ami. That's why it says, when it says here, listen, ami v'adabera. Okay, so it says listen and I will speak, and testimony we use but Yisrael ve'idaboch. Okay, that's he's trying to match. I don't understand how he matches this up, but that's not the point I wanted to make. Anyway, I just want to point out that there's another, this interesting, what he says, V'alken yichas ha'aris ha'sechel al shem ami, V'yud ha'oinesh el Yisrael. All right, that's a little bit very deep what he's trying to say there, but it's an interesting idea that we have over here, another term for the Jewish people, Ami. And Ami, he learns, at least, is a higher level than Yisrael.
Wow, that's an amazing statement.
And don't forget also that there's another term, like we said, Yeshurun. Yeshurun is another exalted title of the Jewish people. So, Tzach HaKol, there are four. There, at least according to him, there's Yaakov.
Why is that? I'm thinking maybe a parish in Israel means elevated nation, Israel, elevated. I mean, it means my nation.
Mine, possessive.
That's the greatest thing you can have. Being the nation of Hashem. That's greater than being an elevated nation.
Greater than being Sorisa im Elokim va'anoshim va'atucho. Yeah, very good. So you won the match. Yeah. You won the World Series. Good for you. But you're not mine. You're not my people. You got to be Ami. Ami has an expression that's even greater than Yisrael. Okay, let's go further. Pasuk Ches. Now we get into the meat. the meat of the Musa. Loy al zivachecha oy chichecha. Vi oy lo secha lenegdi samid.
What about the repetition of the little castle?
He doesn't talk about it. Well, maybe other mafarshim. Okay, and I we'll do another topic. I want to go through the pesukim first. Okay, I didn't, for some reason when I prepared, I didn't find it, good, you know, something you can put your claws into. Let's say, pasiches loy al zivachecha oichichecha, I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices. Vi oiloisecha linegdi samit. Let's say the mitzudos. Basically, I'm never going to criticize you why you did not bring me another sacrifice. I don't need your sacrifices. Keep the animals for yourself. Pasiches loy al zivachecha loy oichiach oischa al hi mo naachol lehakriv zivachim. See how he adds words into the pasuk? I will not criticize you for the lack, for the absence. It doesn't say that in the pasuk. Mitzudas David is really embellishing the words of the pasuk to a very great degree. I will never criticize a person as to why he did not bring me another animal as a sacrifice. You have a lot of money, so no, I'm not. That's not what I want from you. Now the next words are a little more difficult. Samid. It's a lot of embellishment. Samid linegdi oyloisech ki ein chemsi buchem ki toivasha lo tidar. And I will never criticize you as to why it was not continuous. The oyloisech linegdi samid. Again, you're eating words. You have to read it backwards. I will never criticize you as to why you did not continuously bring on the Mizbeach a carbon oil. This is really amazing because we know, you learn the Gemara in the Kachim, where the Gemara numerous times says that in many situations when there's questionable funds and we don't know what carbon it should go for, they would bring it leketz ha-mizbeach. And what is it called? The ketz mizbeach? Oilois that should continuously burn on the mizbeach. There's an inyan that the mizbeach should never be idle. In other words, people come during the day and they bring their obligations. And then when it's 5 o'clock, that's it. Anyone else here? No one else. There's no one waiting online. Everyone has offered the sacrifices that they need to offer. We're done for the day. So shut down the Mikdash. Everyone close the doors, go to sleep, and come back tomorrow morning and we'll continue with the Tamid Shel Shachar. We'll start tomorrow all over again with new Kurbanos. No. We want the Mizbeach to burn with Kurbanos. There should be an Ishei Reach Nichoyach going the whole night. The whole night. And we put on the Mizbeach, we bring numerous Kurbanos, Oilois, that are basically public funds. Not Oilois that are coming from individuals. Oilois, and it's slaughtered during the day, and there's enough meat to burn the whole night. So the Mizbeach should not be idle from bringing to Hashem a Nachas Ruach the entire night.
So, even Friday night?
I think so. They don't. I don't know if they actually would. I don't know. I don't know the answer. I think so. You light the fire during the day. You put the meat, and it burns the whole night without moving it. And it could be you allowed it. I don't know. I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer exactly what they did Friday night. There are halachas that you are allowed to the korbanos. You do burn on Shabbos, obviously. Obviously, what about the leftovers from the day before? I don't know the answer, but. There is such a principle that it's very common in the Gemara called the Ketz Mizbeach. There is a desire that there should be exactly what it says here in this pasuk, the oiloi secho linegdi somit. And Hashem says in this pasuk, according to the Mitzudas, I'm not interested in this. So if it says here, according to the Mitzudas, that I'm not interested in this, why do we do it? It's an expense. It costs money. It costs plenty of money to go raise money, to go buy animals, and to be matriach, to go burn korbanos on the Mizbeach the entire night when Hashem is not interested. Look at the Mitzudas David. I will not rebuke you. Obviously, that's the answer. That's the answer. And if you don't do it, I'm not going to be upset. But if you want to do it, you know, that's what you should be doing. You should feel the need to come close to Hashem through the bring of korbanos. But if you don't do it, I will never have a complaint for not. And by the way, it doesn't say those words in the pasuk. This is all being embellished. Loi al zivachecha oichichecha. I will never rebuke you for not bring a sacrifice. And here the word lo again. The word lo has to be repeated. Viloi, I will never rebuke you, have a complaint against you, if you fail to fulfill the oiloi secha lenegdi sam. And if you don't do the ketz mizbeach. That's what it says according to the Mitzudas, which is quite a parish. Quite a parish. Next, pasuk tes. Loi ekach mi beischa par. I will not take from your bayis a par, a cow. A par is a very big animal. I might ask you, how much does a whole par, a cow cost today?
A cow. A cow, but today I don't know, but when I retired, it was like $200.
That's it?
Yeah, that's all. Because by the time you get it, in other words, from the farmer, so to speak,
yeah,
you think about it, which meat you're getting, and what's the end cost to you. It's processed so many times.
Right.
That the price goes up for handling charges and this and breaking down. And something that started out at $2 a pound was $20.
I understand. Okay, so a par, it seems, an expensive carbon. You got to be a gvir right. To bring to Hashem.
Just before you charge 75 cents a pound for the kashering process, you got to figure in the cost.
How many pounds are there in the average par that go to market? They go to end up in the store.
Talking about a steer, you don't see.
That's what I mean. A steer, right? Yeah.
A side of beef would weigh anywhere from like 185 to 205, and that's one side. So the forequarter would, let's say, weigh approximately 400 pounds. That's the forequarter. The hindquarter is even heavier.
So 1,000 pounds.
Count the head. And doesn't count the rear end.
So you're dealing with close to 1,500 pounds?
Yeah, so you're talking
1,500 pounds of meat. Wow. $200 for 1,500 pounds of meat? Mayor, you want to make a party?
You have to skin it, you have to do all these things, keep every process,
okay,
itself, and then you're paying. By the
sure.
time it reaches your table, look how many things have happened to it.
Sure.
How many pounds end up being kosher?
Well, right. So that's why you're paying what you're paying.
Okay, let's go further. Lo yekach, I will not take mi beis chafar mimich le oisecha atudim. Okay, this is a really good word. This is a good vocabulary word. Mimich le oisecha. It means your enclosure, a pen. It means something. I will not take. There's a bias, and there is a, what's the shorish? I don't even know what the shorish is. Mimich le oisecha means an enclosure, a pen. A place for animals. I will not take atudim, which usually means a he-goat, a male goat. Let's see the Mitzudos David, or even the Mitzudos Sion first. Mimich le'oisecha miloshon beis hakela, a prison. V'hu gidroi soin, it is an enclosure. It is an enclosure of sheep. Atudim min heim hazichorim, the males min ho'izim. Now let's go to the Mitzudos David. On page 451 on the right side, lo yekach. Now he adds, he's embellishing this pasuk on the right. Now I'm now in the Mitzudas David. Now I've shifted to the Mitzudas David, page 451. 451 Mitzudas David, lo yekach. He's embellishing what it says in the pasuk. Lo tzivisi. I did not command. Okay, very, very loose translation. I never commanded you, lo kachas, to take me beischa par. Lahakriv lifonai, before me, to offer. I never commanded you to take mimich le'oisecha musav alo ekach, which means he's repeating the words. I never commanded you to take from your enclosure goats to bring for me voluntary sacrifices. I'm not interested, Hashem says. I don't need this. Now here comes the next pasuk yud. You know why? I got it all. Kili, this is the famous pasuk. Kili, to me, is chayso yo'ar. I have, Hashem says, all the wild animals of the forest. Behemois, animals, beharrei olef, animals that pasture over 1,000 mountains. Look at the Mitzudas David. Mitzvah Zavid Kol Chai Soy Yoar Im She'enam Biyotcha. Even though they're not in your power, you have no authority over these animals. You don't own them. Haloi Hema Biyadi Behemos animals Beharei Olaf. Habehemos hamitzuyos beribui hechodim in the abundance of mountains v'lo yidatam, and you don't know about them. Okay, so he's saying the pshuta shalomaker first before you go to the drash. The pshuta shalomaker is Hashem says I have at my disposal an infinite number of animals. I don't need you to sacrifice an animal for my honor. I own this world. I have out there, all over the world, billions of animals, whatever there are. I don't need your animals. So don't think that you're doing me a favor by offering a carbon. V'razal amru, this, what we're referring to over here, is a...
With page 449.
Okay.
I don't have any desire for them.
Okay.
What did he mean by ki tov asher lo
tidor? That's the pasuk says, the pasuk, ki tov asher lo tidor, misher tidor, v'lo tishashleim. The pasuk in Koheles.
So it's not that I don't... I don't need them because I don't need you making the
dharm. Okay.
That's the reason. Not that I...
It's all the same idea. I don't think you're doing me a favor. You're not doing me any favor by bringing a sacrifice to me. I will never have a complaint against you why you didn't bring me another sacrifice. That's not what it's all about. What it's all about is humbling yourself before I can sort of conclude. To humble yourself before Hashem and to do what Hashem wants from you, and don't cause other people grief, don't cause Hashem grief, and just be an erlich person. I don't need you. I'm not interested in you being a phony. And then you show up in the Beis Hamikdash, you put on your kapata and your up hat. Here I am, Gadol Hador. I'm bringing now korbanos. Everyone should watch me, take pictures. We'll put you in the Flatbush Jewish Journal. I don't need this.
Did anyone see you
picture? Of course not. All right, let's go further. Ki toiv asher lo tikvam. Let's go back to the very pasuk. So now the Razali. Now he quotes a medrash, which we'll discuss in more length in a little soon. He quotes in the Mitzudos David that this expression of behemois, beharei olef, refers to one animal. We're taking the pasuk out of context. There is a creature called behemos. It's not plural. It's not plural. The sof is not postfix. Is that what it's called?
Suffix.
A suffix. Right? It's not a suffix. This is a term. The word behemos is the name of a specific animal, an exotic animal.
Behemoth.
It is a specific exotic creature. You go look at Rabbi Nosson Salifkin, the encyclopedia of biblical animals. Okay, he put a really good book, the Encyclopedia of Biblical Animals. If you're into this type of stuff, what is the behemoth? Behemos. V'razal amru sha'al. He made a museum. Rabbi Nosson Salifkin, he made a museum of biblical animals.
It's just there and it's really very
spectacular.
Museum or a zoo? No, it's a museum with live animals and not live. There's them all there. It's like a very interesting.
Fascinating.
Where is it?
And he published a very beautiful book. It's a very coffee table book. It's not just a coffee table, it's a real safer. It's jam-packed with an enormous amount of information.
Maybe Shorabor is a species, like buffalo,
so he's saying over here, okay, in Chalamika, there are different opinions. You have to see, he has an enormous amount of material on this. If not him, then who? He has a lot of stuff. What exactly is the Shorabor? But he writes here, "Razal amru shal shor habor yoimar ki kemoshen amar hineino vehemos asher asisi imach the vehemos." It's not plural. It's the name of a creature called the shor habor asher asisi imach is with you vuhu nizoin. And what does it mean over here? Baharei olaf, the amount of food that this single creature, needs every single day is the grass of 1,000 mountains. So obviously we're dealing with some mystical creature because we don't know any such creature. This single creature, one creature, the amount of food that it needs to pasture for a daily meal, for its meal for one day, is equivalent to what is found on 1,000 mountains. This is the Drush. Obviously, there's some type of mystical concept, Kabbalistic concept. We're taking the pasuk out of context. It's not common for the Mitzudas David to do this. The Mitzudas David generally learns the pasuk lefi Pshuta Shel Mikra, and the Pshuta Shel Mikra he explained, Ki li, I don't need your korbanos. I never asked for this. I have no complaint against you if you don't bring me korbanos, because I have it all. Ki li to me kol chayso yar. I have all the animals of the forest. I have behemos, plural. I have animals, multiple animals that are found amongst thousands of mountains. Drosha, take the words out of context. There's a mystical creature called the Shor Habor. This creature is going to be slaughtered at the time of the Leviathan. The Sudas Leviathan, we're going to eat this creature. And this creature is going to be slaughtered with the scale of a fish. Of the Leviathan, right? There's going to be a melchama, a whole mystical story that's going to happen. The battle between the behemos and the Leviathan, and the Leviathan is going to slaughter it. We're going to use a chalaf. We're not going to go use a knife. We're going to use a sharp scale, right? A scale, right? We use a scale to cut to do the ma'aser shechita on the animal. No, you don't eat fish. We don't eat fish and meat together. Why not? Sakana, toisvis. We don't eat meat and fish. Meat and fish is a no-no. Not allowed to eat meat and fish together because there's a sakana. What's a sakana? So we don't really know. Scientifically, it's not known. Not known, not understood. What exactly is the sakana of eating meat and fish together? But in Kabbalah he nekabel, we don't do it. So, what they do eat? Okay, good.
Not all of them.
Okay, fine.
Rabbi Fran discussed it once on a tape.
Yeah.
He didn't really know, but he suspected. Why do you have a glass of schnapps in between?
Right. That's pashut. All right, right.
So he said that used to be this. What he did some research. Is that the fish best served was just before it's spoiled. And therefore, there might be some germs in it.
Fascinating.
And therefore, to kill the germs,
you take schnapps. That's taka true that the fish is best served right before it spoils?
Yeah, I've heard that. That's also not the way we eat fish. This is on one of his.
Right, things. I believe that. So therefore, it's
true that you take schnapps even if you
weren't having it. I'm very mach.
All right, this is Tysus. Tysus, this is a Tysus. In Kabbalah, this is what we do. So, al derech drush. Okay, when you want to go look at fish and meat in a Kabbalistic, forget about scientifically, Tysus says that it's a mitzis. There is an illness that comes eating these two together. Today, modern science has not yet understood what that means. What are we talking about? We're not familiar with any type of illness that can come if you eat meat and fish together. Maybe one day they'll discover something, but right now it's a big unknown. But that's the tradition, so we don't do it very careful. Then there's another thing which many say is a total mistake, and that is not eating milchiks with fish. Lox, not to have milk, lox and cream cheese. Okay, some say that's a tosatfus, that's also a tosfus. It says printer's error. It really meant basar, didn't mean cholov, it says printer's error. Okay, so a lot of people say, very few people are machmir on this. And not machmir on this. But some are, whatever it is. In Kabbalah, the Kabbalah. But let's go back to the original. The vast majority of Klal Yisrael is machmir not to eat meat and fish together. And to be mafsik between the two with a drink or just not eat them at the same moment in time. On a Kabbalistic level, forget about the physical mitzias, and that is, it's reference, a reminder to the Yemos HaMashiach. And Yemos HaMashiach, there's going to be a battle between a fish and and meat, the Shor HaBor, and this Leviathan. And at the end, the Leviathan is going to slaughter the scale of the fin. Which one's going to be the shechita knife? The knife. I think it's the scale. The scale of the fish will slaughter the basar. So we see there is an animosity. There is an animosity. The Ribbono Shel Olam is Rabbi Machshir. We told this yesterday. There is animosity. There is some type of machloikis between these two creatures. And it's going to play out in Yemos HaMashiach, the Shor HaBor and Leviathan. They're going to be a battle. And the fish is going to slaughter the... So therefore, we don't mix the two. Don't get involved in the machloikis. That's not yours. These two creatures, it's a big musahaska. It's a big musahaska. These two guys, they don't get along. Basar, the Shor HaBor. This is the Spitz, this is the Shor, the Behemos, Bahari Olaf. And then there's the Leviosa, you know, the Leviosa and Meister Bereshis. They don't get along. They don't get along, these two creatures. Therefore, stay out of their machlaikas. Don't go and bring them together at your table. Hayluchud v'hayluchud. What? Chveisnish, I don't know. This is a Kabbalistic type of creature, this guy. Okay, this is a drush. This is not science. But science has a hard, very hard time understanding what this is, yeah?
I think part of the reason not having fish with dairy is exera, so you don't come from meat with dairy.
Okay, that
and I know a case where it did happen.
Did it happen?
It happened. My mother would always make for my father, for lunch, a tuna fish sandwich.
Yeah.
And she made him a chicken salad sandwich.
So she makes
and
tuna...
And he came home and he said it was so delicious. What do you think about it? Well, I had my coffee with my tuna fish.
No,
it was chicken.
Chicken. Okay, so get. You're saying a chiddush. You're saying a chiddush. In Kabbalah, he nikabel. It's a very, very big chumrah to be very big chumrah not to eat dairy with fish, and very few people are machben on this. You have to go against the kashrus agencies. In the world of kashrus, it's a matter of business, like filtering the water for bucks. So most people don't tell me otherwise. Most private people do not filter their water. That's the reality. No, they don't.
No, because they're not bugs.
What?
Because they're not bugs.
Why? They're bugs. But yet every single store, every restaurant in this neighborhood, their water is filtered. So what's the difference? Money, business. It's about business. So in the cash agencies, there are certain decisions that they make, chumras they make, it's because lamali litzara hazais. There are people who make a lot of noise, and even though really there's no need to do so, what do you need? Lamali litzara, so you go spend. I'll go spend $50 to buy a filter, leave me alone. And that we don't have to have people screaming their head off at you, even though many places can say it's totally not necessary. So, you know, there are certain, sometimes chumras take on a life of their own. Any event, we have over here a presentation over here of the Shor HaBor. The Shor HaBor, there are not that many references in Tanakh to the Shor HaBor. This is Exhibit A of the Shor HaBor. Exhibit A. Behemois Behare Olef. There is a creature that is called behemos. In English, Ramachol, how do you pronounce it in English again?
Behemoth.
Behemoth. It's one creature. One creature. And what's the word Bahare Olaf mean? It means the amount of food that it needs to eat in one day is equivalent to the pasture of 1,000 mountains. Okay, it sounds like to me, I wouldn't know better, I would say behemos is a marshal for a... aircraft carrier, a nuclear-powered aircraft carrier. Okay, the Ronald, what is it called? The old latest ones, the Ronald, the newest one. I saw a YouTube video it's just mind-boggling what they can build today.
They're like four city blocks long.
The most advanced technology in the world goes into building aircraft carrier. The most advanced technology of the world goes into this. And I know the F-35s, which some of the F-35s actually fly, are positioned on these aircraft carriers. Not to be believed what's in that object out there floating in the ocean, somewhere in the ocean. It is literally a city. I think there are 5,000 people live on this ship full time.
3,000 to 4,000.
Even more, they say 5,000. They live there full time. And they're independent. They have their own nuclear power. There's enough power in that thing to go for 50 years. For 50 years, even 100 years. It's self-sufficient. It's nuclear powered. The technology, you have a mikveh also. I'm sure they have a mikveh. Why not? Why would they have a mikveh?
They don't want it to sink.
If they have a mikveh in the hotel, they have the hotel in Connecticut. In Connecticut, that hotel, every single organization in the world makes a beautiful hotel. They keep on changing names. Now it's called the Armon. The Armon, the palace, they have a mikveh. They have a men's mikveh. A men's mikveh on premise, a beautiful men's mikveh on premises. Every single week there's a Jewish, Orthodox Jewish man. They have a kosher kitchen. It used to be the Stanford. You know, it used to be, it's a gorgeous place. It's unbelievable. All right, so certainly on the aircraft carrier, let's go right there. Behemoth, Bahari, all of this, exhibit A of this creature, even the Mitsudois Dove, this is not typical for him to get into Medrash. Even he has to go and acknowledge and pay homage to the Medrash. V'Rabbi Seinu Zichron Levrocha Amru, I'm reading the Mitsudois Dove, Sha'al Shor Habor Yoimar, K'moy Shenemar, The reason why it's so uncharacteristic is because when you take this word behemos bahari olef, it is taken out of context. The Mitzvah David doesn't do that. Mitzvah David, he reads everything in context. And here he's extracting three words, slice and dice, no shaykhis to anything else, and just saying what it refers to. Okay, now we go to Pasuk Gebeis. I want one more Pasuk before we go to the Rashis in Eraf. If I was hungry, Hashem says, would I not tell you, it's time for lunch? If I'm hungry, Hashem, I don't need your korbanos. I'm not hungry. I don't need your korbanos. If I was hungry, would I not go and say to you? You know why? Because I don't need you people. I'm the creator. Kili, to me, is the sevel. Again, that word. We had that word before. It's a term for the earth. Sevel means a mix, like a spice. Whatever, a different translation of the word sevel, but it means the earth, umil loyon, everything that exists in this world. Mr. Stavah Pasuk Yibes, l'ayimalach, l'hachil oisi l'shbor hor avoid, would I not ask you to feed me, to break my hunger? Isn't that an interesting expression? You learn all these interesting, all these side things. A person is hungry, you break the hunger. You wouldn't, I don't think in English the person would talk like that. Person's hungry, well, we say to break your fast. We actually do say that. Right. I made a mistake. We use that expression. I never even thought about that. You break your fast. Right. Why do we use the word break? Where does that come from? To break. Look, isn't it amazing that the Mitsuda stuff to live probably 250 years ago, he says exactly that expression. He says lishbor. This is not an English expression. This is an ancient expression. And he took it from some... Break fast. Very good. I didn't realize. Right. Breakfast is break fast.
They say breakfast is
break fast.
You're breaking the fast.
So where does that come from? So you think it's a 20th century, 19th century? No, it's an ancient concept. The Mitzvah Dove, what he says, 99% the liquid from what he saw from the Kadmonim, from people way before him, and he's saying this expression, Lishbor Hor Ovoin, to break the hunger. I don't need you to serve me breakfast, Hashem says. I can I have plenty. V'hubi loshon melitza. This is an expression in Meloya. Habriyois hamamalim es oilam. I have the world and its fullness is mine. Okay, so we're going to stop over here with this, do a little bit of Rashi for a few minutes. I will start off the Rashi a little bit. This is the parish of the Mitzvah stuff. Let's go back now for a few moments to learn a little bit of Rashi. Page 448. Es v'lichasidoi. 448 Rashi. V'lo v'oid yikra l'ashamayim v'lo'aretz sheyasu li loy ha-galuyois. A whole new interpretation. Rashi over here is not learning this in reference to the Yom Hadin. Because you have to remember, if you go back, you have to remember that you have to keep cheshbin. Every one of them, every mafarash is consistent in understanding the sequence of psukim according to his approach. Rashi on page 446, he said, "Michlal." Okay, after in the first line, "Vial geulas heosid nisnabe." Mitzudois and Radak and many other commentators made it very clear that this mizmor is describing the Yom Hadin. Rashi didn't say that. Rashi says this mizmor is another mizmor that's discussing general concepts of redemption, geula, redemption. What is going to happen at the time of geula? Kibbutz Goliyos. The Jewish people are going to be ingathered into Eretz Yisrael. So when it says here in Pasuk Kei Isfuli Chasidoi, according to the Mitzudois, the day of reckoning has arrived. Come to court. You're getting a hazmona ledin Torah. According to Mitzudos, Isvuli Chasidoi, Korsei V'risi Alei Zavach, it's a hazmona to a din Torah. What happens if you ignore the first hazmona? What do? You send another hazmona. What happened if you ignore the second hazmona to a din Torah? The Bezin sends another hazmona. What happens if you ignore the third hazmona? You're finished. Then Bezin writes a seruf. What does a seruf mean? Refusal. They put in the paper, they put in the FJJ, or your favorite paper, this fellow has been summoned to court. He has refused to show up three times, and there are consequences. What are the consequences? Well, today in Golas, the very little, but there is one consequence that carries weight. Even today, this fellow who refused to come to a Din Torah can never take another person to a Din Torah. He's vulnerable. That applies today as well. That's a very big problem for people today. If a person gets hazmana to a Din Torah, you better take it seriously. You better go. Because if you don't go three times, then and they write a seruf, the one who gets a seruf can never take another person to a din Torah. So if he is robbed, he's really stuck. Because if he goes to court, secular court, they'll curse him out that you're a terrible balavera arkois. Ve'eilecham mishpatim asher tassim lifneim v'loy lifnei arkois. You're not allowed to go to a, it's a very davar chomer admoi to go to a secular court. You could only go to a secular court if you first go to Beis Din, and Beis Din says, okay, we give you permission to go to a secular court. But you first have to go to Beis Din. But so if a person has been a victim of a crime, so he has to go through the steps. He goes to Beis Din. You can't go to Beis Din. Beis Din will not look at you, even today, because you were called to Beis Din and you didn't go. And the Beis Din wrote up about you a public seruf, and even though today we live in a world where we don't have, there's very little power to a Jewish court, but this, they have power. If it has been publicly issued a seruf, you cannot take another person to a Beis Din. And that's a pretty painful reality for some people when you're in the business world, and there are people in the business world that are going to court as Maisim B'chol Yom. Okay, some people, by the Goyim for sure. Okay, the Goyim, I mean the whole law industry. Billion-dollar industry, billions of dollars. Every day, Maisim B'chol Yom. There's certain businesses, that's the nature. The nature is every single day, you know, some are ugly, some are not so ugly. But in the Jewish world, you know, it's a serious matter. So here, according to Mitzudois David and most of the other commentators, Pasuk Hei is basically a hazmana to a Din Torah. Gather me, my pious ones. I'm now going to go. We're going to a Din Torah. I'm going to give them Musar. I'm also we're gathering the goyim. They're also going to be subject to a din Torah, what they did to the, my people. V'chulu v'chulu. Rashi doesn't actually get involved in this, because Rashi says we're not discussing a din Torah. We are discussing kibbutz goliyos. Isfu li chasidoi. Send out a WhatsApp message to every Jew. It's time to come home. Come home. Get on the next plane and come to Eretz Yisrael. Join Mark. Mark is going to Eretz Yisrael soon. Mark, we're all going to stay by you. You can put us all up. You put us all up. We have to go. The time has come for you to come home. Rash Isuli, V'oid Yikre LaShamayim V'Lo'oretz. Call the heaven and the earth. Sheya'asfu Lo HaGoluyos. Time to come home. Kenyan Shenemar in Shir HaShirim. Uri, wake up, Tzofayin. Uvoi Seimon, people who live in the north, and those people who live in the south, whether you live in Florida or you live in Canada, makes no difference. Get on a plane and come to Israel. Come stay with friends. Next. Karsei Virisi Ale Zavach. Shekiblu, same thing that it said in the Mitzvah, Shekiblu Satoyer Bevris Vizevach. King in Shenemar, Hine Dam Habris Asher Kodesh Hashem. Almost every one of the page says exactly the same thing. Every one of the page calls Klal Yisrael, those who have entered into a covenant with Hashem through sacrifice, through korbanos at the end of Parashas Mishpatim. Pasuk Ches, Loi al Zivochecha Oichichecha. Im Eincha Mevi Li Zivochecha, V'loi Negdi Oiloi Secha Tamid. Eini sum einai v'libi alkach. Exactly what the Mitzudis David said in much less words. I will never have a complaint against you for your lack of bringing me korbanos. Next Rashi's, let's look at the page. Loi ekach, I will not take mi beis chapar. Loi, now he's, this is different than the Mitzudis didn't explain this so much. If I'm mistaken, he did. The Mitzudas David explained this pasuk exactly the way he explained the last pasuk. I never commanded you. I never asked you to bring for me extra korbanos. That's not the way Rashi learns. I didn't take from you lo shelachahem ela sheli. Completely different interpretation. Whatever you give Hashem, you have to realize that whatever you give Hashem is not really yours. You're giving Hashem what belongs to Hashem. The person should, this is a general Musa Haskel, whatever a person has is a gift from Hashem. You're not giving me yours, you're giving me what belongs to Hashem. Mimich le'oisecha, what is this word? He translates it for us. Hudir hatsoin kemoi gozar, mimich le'etsoin, he cut off from the enclosure sheep in Chavakuk. Ramchol, what is the word over there? Park? Fork, but over here it means it's like a corral. It means some type of enclosure.
Park.
Like I said, a park.
Pen.
A pen, okay.
Corral.
Park. Borough Park is the place for animals. What? Is that why it was called Borough Park? Okay, over here, it's the old French word, it means a place for animals. A park is a place for animals. What a nasty thing to say, right? Okay, Behema is Bahari Aleph, Hu Hamisukun Musudas Ovid. Now he right away goes, as Rashi Kedaka likes very much Drush. It is Hu Ham the Behemos, this creature that eats food from 1,000 animals, Hu Hamisukun Lisudas Heosid, Sudas Leviosan. Rashi doesn't even say Pshat, he only goes into Medrash. This is the name of the creature who eats a lot of food. And this creature is going to be slaughtered at the time of Mashiach, Sudas Liviyasan, and it's going to be served at the dinner. It consumes, it pastures upon 1,000 mountains a day. And this all midrashim, and every single day they are replenished. Miracle. Hashem provides that the grass grows in one day. It eats up the grass, and overnight the grass grows full length. And it consumes it all over again. Yesh mefarshim elef hadim, oy elef. Some explain elef hadim, oy elef parsois. Either it means it says, what does it mean elef hadim? Either it means 1,000. It means a distance. A mountain is a unit of measure. And it is, a mountain is one parsa. Okay, a chiddush. What is a parsa? A parsa is 4 mil. 4 mil, in modern terms, is approximately 3 miles. 4 mil. A parsa is 4 mil. A mil is about 3/4 of a mile, so approximately three miles. A mountain, the average mountain, Rashi is telling us, is 3 miles. From end to end is a three, it's pretty big, 3 miles. So put nice walk. A elef parsois, that is the distance. The distance is 3,000 miles. 3,000 miles is basically, is how big is America? 3,000 miles from coast to coast? What? How much?
33.
All right, approximately, so 3,300 miles. 3,300 miles from coast to coast. It's saying that is the distance, that's how much behemoth, how much pasture it consumes in a day. Oy or shame elef parim, or when it says 1,000 is going back on or shame 1,000 parim. Okay, Rav Mordechai, you wanted to say this, that it's a min, it's a species, and it refers to 1,000 of these animals. What is over here? Gimel v'yeshafarish me'elhul over the system of the kingdom v'yeshafarish me'elharim oy elef parsois efshad shalafarish v'yeshad lemar har echad, one mountain shu godel elef parsois oy sheyesham elef parim. It is a piece of land, which on this piece of land there are 1,000 parim. So it's not a change. The behemoth is one creature, which eats food that is equivalent of what 1,000 animals eat a day. There's mountains, and on each mountain there are 1,000 regular parim, and this behemoth eats the equivalent of what 1,000 animals eat a day, something like that. It means when it says bahare, the word olef means to push, to it means to bring forth, to give birth to. Alofech, and that word alofech means to cast forth. Kloimar, hotter mountains. Mileim bakar bavur shehizkir lo ekach mi beischa par. So it's an expression. I do kili chay so yar behemois. So I think over here in this third interpretation, he's referring to many animals that are found on the mountains that bring forth animals. The mountains is an environment which is ideal for the bringing forth of animals. Olef does not mean 1,000. Olef means alofecha. Shigar, what comes forth, what? Shigar alofecha. Which? As what?
Cattle.
Loy ekach mi beischa farsk. Something along those lines, and it needs more precision, I don't know, we'll leave with that. And then pasuk yud alef, yodati. Oh, did I skip this pasuk? I skipped this pasuk by mistake. I'm sorry. I skip by mistake pasuk yud aleph by mistake. It's a very important pasuk. We'll do tomorrow. I apologize. I didn't realize I skipped that pasuk. So we'll do the mirshim tomorrow. We'll pick it up over here again with this Rashi and learn a few mefarshim, some of the midrashim, and then we'll move on to the targum is very critical for this part. Okay, we'll give this topic a short break. After the break, I want to do with you something very interesting to do with you.